a name is found. Kneeling down on the bank of the river, Athena breathed her warm, sweet breath into each of the little statues. When she had finished, she stood to join Prometheus and her father, looking on to see what would transpire. It all happened quite slowly. At first, one of the darker figures gave a twitch and let out a kind of gasping moan. At the other end of the row, a yellow one wriggled, sat up, and gave a small cough. Within seconds, all the little beings were alive and moving. Just moments later, they were trying out their limbs, eyes, and other senses, looking at each other, smelling the air, chattering and shouting. Before long, they were standing and even taking their first wobbling steps. Zeus took Prometheus by both his hands and danced him round and round. "Look!" he shouted. "Look! Aren't they beautiful? They are wonderful, quite wonderful!" Athena raised a finger to her lips. "Shh! You're frightening them." She pointed down at the tiny men who were now staring up with looks of fear and consternation on their faces. The tallest of them didn't quite come up to the level of her knees. "It's all right, little ones," said Zeus, stooping down and addressing them in what he hoped was a soothing voice. "There's no need to be afraid." But the colossal booming sound that emerged seemed to alarm the little creatures further, and they began to flail and whirl about in fear. "Let's reduce ourselves to their size," said Prometheus. As he spoke, he shrank himself down so that he was only a foot or so taller than his creations. Zeus and Athena did the same. With embraces, smiles, and soft words, the scared and bewildered beings were slowly pacified and befriended. They clustered around the three immortals, bowing and prostrating themselves. "There's no need to bow," said Prometheus, touching one of them and marvelling at the texture and life he could feel pounding within. Athena's breath had turned the clay into such quick, warm flesh. The eyes of them all were bright with life and energy and hope. "Excuse me," said Zeus, "there is every need to bow. We are their gods, and they are not to forget it." "I'm not their god," said Prometheus, gazing down on them with an intense feeling of love and pride. "I am their friend." He knelt so that he was on their level. "I shall teach them how to farm, how to mill wheat and rye so that they can make bread, how to cook and forge tools, and—" "No!" Zeus gave a sudden roar that sent the startled creatures milling in panic again. Zeus's roar was answered by a great rumble of thunder in the sky. "You can befriend them as much as you like, Prometheus, and I have no doubt that Athena and all the other gods will do so too, but one thing they are not to have, ever, and that is fire." Prometheus stared at his friend in astonishment. But why ever not? With fire, they could rise up to challenge us. With fire, they could think themselves our equals. I feel it and know it. They must never be given fire. I have spoken." A long peal of thunder in the distance affirmed his words. "But," Zeus smiled now, "everything else in the world is theirs to enjoy. They may travel to every corner. They can sail Poseidon's oceans, seek Demeter's help in sowing seeds and growing food, learn from Hestia the arts of keeping a home, discover how to keep animals for their milk, fur, and labour. They can learn the arts of hunting from Artemis. Hermes can teach them guile. Apollo can instruct them in the arts of music and learning. Athena will teach them how to be wise and contented, and Aphrodite will share with them the arts of love. They will be free, and happy. What shall we call them? Athena asked. That is one theory as to the origin of the word anthropos, which does strictly mean man. It is unfortunate that many words for our species seem to refer only to the male. Human, for example, is cognate with homo, the Latin for man. Thus humanity rudely leaves out half the species. Folk and people aren't so specific. It is worth bearing in mind, however, that man is actually connected to mens, mind, and manus, hand, and was in fact gender neutral until perhaps 1,000 years ago. Zeus clapped his hands, and the huddle of handcrafted humans became 100, and the 100 became a horde, and the horde, spreading ever outwards, became a multitude, until the human population, numbering now in the hundreds of thousands, was on its way to finding a home in every corner of the world. And so the early race of man came to be. Gaia, Zeus, Apollo, and Athena might be said to be its progenitors as much as Prometheus, who fashioned humanity from the four elements: earth, Gaia's clay, water, the spittle of Zeus, fire, the son of Apollo, and air, the breath of Athena. They lived and thrived, exemplifying the best of their creators. But something was missing. Something very important.